Welcome to the Education and Empowerment Podcast. In this show, our hosts explore success and advancement through education by interviewing today's top leaders in the fields of education, business, and technology in order to provide insight into what it really takes to succeed. This show is brought to you by Forestay, a SaaS-enabled online booking marketplace for student and intern housing. Forestay provides turnkey, all-in-one, cloud-based accommodation software solutions for colleges, universities, and organizations. Learn more at offcampus.forestay.com and landlords.forestay.com. All right, let's get into the show.
You're tuned to Education and Empowerment Podcast. Yes, that's me, your host, Bakhtir Rusoyev. And today we'll be interviewing Andrea Ford. Miss Andrea Ford joined University of the Potomac team in August of 2015. Prior to joining University of the Potomac, she held the position of Assistant Vice President on Student Finance and Compliance for Education Management. In that capacity, she spent 8 years administering and successfully overseeing the development of student financial services, accounting, registrar teams for more than 30 startup locations. She also spearheaded successfully the implementation of on-demand training initiative to train all student finance staff and various departments company-wide on company and U.S. Department education policy, procedures, and standards. Ms. Ford has been member of the National Association of Student Financial Aid Administrators, Virginia Association of Student Financial Aid Administrators, Delaware District of Columbia, Maryland Association of Student Financial Aid Administrators, and has also volunteered to offer financial aid counseling to student participants in various DC, Maryland, Virginia schools and centers. Ms. Andrea has served as a part of multiple small teams for the Middle States Commission on Higher Education, representing various standards. In this episode, Ms. Andrea Ford and I will be discussing operational strategy for successful student retention. Ms. Andrea brings valuable insights that will be of inspiration to our podcast listeners. You will enjoy learning about the different nuances and tactics that assist in making higher education institutions successful. I hope you'll enjoy this episode. All right, let's get started. Hello and welcome to Education and Empowerment Podcast. In this episode, we will be speaking with Ms. Andrea Ford. Ms. Andrea Ford heads operations at the Potomac University. And in this episode, we will be speaking about operational strategy for successful student retention. Without further ado, Ms. Andrea Ford, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's great. It's a beautiful day here in Washington, D.C., and I wanted to find out how you got into, you know, what you do today. I mean,
well, let's see. Some 25 years ago, I started in higher education. I was part-time at Strayer University in the Learning Resources Center, so the library. And my personality, since I was a little kid, was very bubbly, outgoing, and I just loved meeting new people, knew no strangers, as my grandmother would say. And a manager from the financial aid department, she came downstairs one day and she said, "I love your personality. I want you to come and work for me." And that started my journey in Title IV, so working in the financial aid department. And then from there, I was curious, what made the school operate? How did we enroll students? How do we retain students? How do we educate students? How do we help our communities? Everything was running through my head. So I continued to grow and grow and grow. Some years passed, went from Strayer to education management, and I was responsible for startup locations across the United States. I would go from state to state, starting new schools, some brick and mortar, just building from scratch, and others were asset purchase agreements. And I started to learn a little bit more from the beginning to the end and all things in between. And then it landed me at Potomac. The University of Potomac had some challenges some years ago, and my opportunity was to come in and actually get the university on the right track. And then I would just go on off into the great night. And it didn't work that way. I saw so much potential University of the Potomac that almost 6 years later, I'm still here. What got me to chief operating officer is that entire story. I am familiar with the process from the beginning to the end and all things in between. And it's really required to ensure that operations goes as smoothly as possible.
That's fantastic. Speaking with so many higher education experts like yourself, one of the questions we're trying to explore in Education and Empowerment podcast is the whole notion of student success. And specifically, we're looking at student success outside of classroom. So, you know, there's research that, you know, students spend over 85% of their time outside of classroom. And what you do at your current institution, as well as the experience that you bring, definitely is very valuable, and there's so much that, you know, to be learned. So we were curious if you can maybe share a little bit about what is your definition of student success outside of classroom as you sort of progressed from other institutions to University of Potomac today?
The success outside of the classroom is really based on what they tell us coming through the door. What is your objective? Why are you interested in receiving the certificate or the degree that you seek? And typically, it is for betterment. So for increase in salary or title or something to give back to their family, oftentimes community as well. Success for the student is coming in, achieving everything that they desire to achieve academically, and then taking that back out. So we have first generation college students showing their children the importance of obtaining this degree and that they could do it at any age through any obstacle. And they teach that to their children, who will teach that to their children, and so forth and so on. And then also giving back to their communities, wherever those designated communities are, is also important in their success. So what happens is it's a win-win situation. When they come through the door, University of Potomac is responsible for ensuring that they achieve those academic goals. And then once they leave University of Potomac, they can share their story. They can go to their communities and give back. So that is with the success outside of the classroom, and also their objective of achieving higher titles and salary at their employers or seeking other employment. So those are the successes outside of the classroom.
That's amazing. And what I heard from people, as well as I witnessed that myself, over the past 3 or 4 years, University of the Potomac has somewhat skyrocketed in terms of its growth. What's the secret sauce there?
Well, what I would say is we are, at University of Potomac, we are trying to ensure that our prospective students and our current students understand the importance of relevance in what they're doing, that they understand the importance of continuing on and completion. Customer service is one of my staples. Two things that I don't like are lines. I don't like long lines, even in my personal life, because I feel that people should not have to wait for service, mainly service that they are paying for when there's someone to help them, and also misinformation. So I pride myself on quality customer service. And as you know, word of mouth is your best marketing tool. Exactly. So if someone walks out of our doors or hang up the phone with speaking with one of our personnel and they have gained nothing but frustration, we failed them. So our growth, our retention rate is 96%, which is phenomenal across the board. And that's for all locations. That retention rate is only 96% because of quality customer service. Of course, we have our academics department, and I do believe that our improved rigor in our courses is another staple the University of Potomac holds dear, but customer service, as you are aware, can make or break an organization.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And for the listeners who are not familiar with University of Potomac or where it's located, can you give a short brief about what the institution is, where it's located, where the campuses are, and perhaps some of the academic programs that you're proud of?
University of Potomac is a mid-size, I'm going to call it mid-size now. We're not small anymore. We're thinking larger, larger scale.
That's great.
University that has been in business now for some 30 years, located in Washington, D.C. area. So we are a block and a half. Our main campus is a block and a half from the White House, right downtown on 14th and H Northwest. And then we have a location in Leesburg, Virginia, right off of Route 7. And then we have a location in Chicago, Illinois, on Wabash. We also offer online programs that we are particularly, I am particularly impressed with our geospatial intelligence program. We are one of only four other universities that offer the programs, and we are one of only two that offer the entire program online. We've also been approved for doctoral programs. So we are offering three doctoral programs, computer science, education, and business admin. Our MSIT and MSCS programs. Another program that I'm particularly passionate about is one that we developed specifically for the secondary education sector, and that's our early childhood development program. So we offer an associate's and a bachelor's degree in early childhood development. That program is growing as well.
That's fantastic. And as we're speaking about this, this definitely makes me wonder, and I'm sure our listeners, when you actually run those programs, there should be like a very good operational strategy in place. So can you shed some light into what are the ingredients of an operational strategy, and where do you begin, and what do you do with it, and how are you devising it so that you can maintain such a big retention with students?
The first thing that we do is we search for a need for our programs. So we have several programs that we are going to no longer offer only because there's no need for those. It's not going to service our students. So we go out and we do some analysis based on area, and then we do the United States as a whole. If the program is something that we're focusing on as in our international business, we also go abroad with our research. And we go through and we complete analysis to see what the job market looks like. What are the potential earnings? What are the jobs in the different areas? And we compile all of that in a report. Part of this report piling is based on what our accreditors require of us to ensure that we're offering the rigor. We need to ensure that students are going to graduate with minimal debt while earning a degree that's going to improve their life or help them achieve their career goals. So we go through that process. Once we have all of that documentation together, myself, the president, and the academics team, we get together and we decide based on our competitors and what is being made available to students in the area, is this program going to benefit University of Potomac and those interested in attending University of the Potomac? Once we come to the conclusion, yes, this is what we're going to do. We're going to submit an application to our regulatory bodies to offer this program. Then we have to go through the process of budget. Are we going to market this program? Who are we going to market these programs to? And when are we going to start marketing these programs? Once we do that, some of the programs are going to grow slow, and some of it takes time to find your niche in the market world, because we do have a lot of competitors. Example, MBA.
Right.
You can almost receive an MBA at any college or university. What is going to set our MBA aside from the others? It's a common degree, I'll say. What right. sets ours aside is that we have several concentrations that some of the other colleges do not. So you may have your MBA, but what is your concentration? You also can have your MBA and a concentration in cybersecurity. So that means that not only are you doing the MBA piece of it, which is general, your concentration is narrowed it down. And now you're sitting in a class of people with not just an MBA degree.
Right. Well, that's great. I so much agree with you on the fact that there should be some sort of concentration, because otherwise, like, what sets people aside, right? Well, what yes. sets not only institution, but, you know, the end user, who is the mm-hmm. student aside. And the job market is getting so much competitive with so many, you know, over 5,000 higher education institutions in the States. There's something that needs to make a difference. So I applaud your efforts there. The next question that comes to my mind is obviously 2020 and pandemia changed the way things happen. What were the impact of pandemia to University of the Potomac when it comes to student success and operations?
Absolutely. A time that I never thought I would see in my lifetime, for sure. One of the things that University of Potomac did not even realize that we were being so innovative. We thought that offering courses online was, that's the times that we live in. That's what we should do. We have a SARA agreement so we can market online anywhere. And those things were great. But what that did, that set Potomac up for the pandemic. So we were able to, we were already offering all of our programs online, and we participate in a hybrid model. So our students can still participate in that modality by being face-to-face with their students via Zoom, as we are right now, or via Google Meets. So that worked out for us. The impact that Potomac has felt the most is for our international students. Mm. We have a large international student population. And of course, there was no travel, there were no visas. And some of our students were even stranded in their home country because they were visiting with their family. So the impact was great there. What we have done is we've gone to the table, the executive team, we sat there and said, how do we service? How do we service? And how do we ensure that our online modality is as solid as our hybrid and online modality? So it took a lot of closed door sessions to go through to ensure that we did not drop the ball on the academic side or the customer service side. Now our IT department and help desk needed to be more diligent in responding to students. There was no other means of communication. True. We had to change our telephone systems so that when someone dials that 202 number, it will go out to Andrea's 703 number so that we wouldn't lose any students. We could service them and prospective students as well. So we were lined, we were right in line with the online piece of it, which was great. So we're learning a lot along the way. We have met all of the compliance requirements without any hiccups. And our student attendance is a lot better. You know, it's a lot easier to roll out of bed and turn on the computer than to drive to campus. So we've been very fortunate in that. One of the things that we are doing is trying to continue to become more and more innovative in how are we going to service students that are not comfortable, even now that there is a shift in the pandemic, they're still not comfortable with coming on to campus. What do we do? How do we service them? So our entire staff is still remote and they're working their regular schedule, working a lot harder. People didn't think that was going to happen, but you work a lot harder. So we're constantly every week going back to the table. How do we do this? How do we become more innovative? How do we stay relevant? How do we get these prospective students and our existing students to understand the relevance, that there's still relevance in education?
That's certainly very inspiring, Mrs. Ford. And what you just reminded me of us last March when the whole pandemic hit, and you know, until a certain moment, we were like, no, we're only going to be this small office and we're going to be in an environment where we can see each other and be quick and stuff. But we were fighting about the idea that should we take 1 or 2 days off and work from home? And the internal notion was that, no, we don't want that because, you know, how are we going to track if people are like actually working and stuff like that? That was not true. I mean, imagine the time you commute to your office. Those are the small things that add up, and it's part of this whole operational strategy as well. So it's really enlightening to, you know, hear from you and the example of the communication system, the phone communication system that you brought, as well as ensuring that you ensure relevance to the students and to entire staff is a certainly great example. What would you say the industry is going with that? Is it the only institution that you've seen this, or are there other institutions facing the same? What's the industry like? What trends have you noticed?
The entire industry has changed everything. I have colleagues that work across the United States, and everyone is seeing the same thing. How do we keep our current students engaged, and how do we continue to enroll new students? So it is a struggle. Some of the things that I have seen are some universities, larger universities, that are no longer requiring, at least for this upcoming fall, ACT and SAT scores because students did not have time to study. They have suffered so much depression and anxiety, and the remote learning is not conducive to everyone's mind, as we know. I've seen that. I've seen with the CARES Act money, I've seen universities that are using all of their funding just to feed some of their students that had no option but to return to on campus living because they had nowhere to call home. So a lot of different things are going on in the industry. I will say that the accrediting bodies and the Department of Education have been more than supportive of the universities and colleges and what we are trying to obtain while maintaining compliance. It's always important to remember that because we can't afford to become too lax on compliance and rules and regulations, but they have made a lot of adjustments that benefit the students. The schools, do we have to work harder? Absolutely, but that's okay. Again, I go back to quality customer service. These are our customers. We wanted everyone during the pandemic that worked at a grocery store to stay there. We wanted the truck drivers to continue to deliver. We owe it to our customers. I always say to people, we are obligated to do better. So I'm watching the different universities try to do better. I'm part of several listservs. And on those listservs, we have started discussing more and more how to overcome depression and anxiety amongst our students and staff. So I pulled a young lady out of Maryland and a young lady out of Jacksonville, Florida, and we hosted a wellness seminar for my staff because you can look at the faces sometimes and you can see meltdowns and you can see anxiety. And we don't know where this industry is going. So exactly. There's a lot of that. And we've started hosting more, and I've noticed other universities and colleges as well, hosting more wellness seminars for the students. We've offered our students an outlet. They can contact us at any time. I think all of our students have my cell phone number, but they have our cell phone numbers. They can text us just to say hi. You know, you can tell by a tone. So there are a lot of changes. Other changes are tuition. I've noticed our tuition for our students is set whether they're in state or out of state, but schools that have out of state tuition rates, there's no parent or student that's paying for their own education that's going to pay for an out-of-state rate to attend online. So how do you overcome that without the university suffering? So those are a lot of the areas the university's executive teams and staff and faculty are dealing with.
Certainly fantastic. And to add to that, Washington, D.C., you seem it's big, but it's small because good information flies so fast. I mean, I've heard you personally taking this whole notion of customer service to the next level where you helped a student with their personal issues. I'm curious.
Someone had to do it for me. And I do believe, as I mentioned, we are obligated to help one another. There's no way for any business, any person personally to grow without helping someone. So if a student reaches out and they say, I don't have food, we're going to get them food. If they say, my lights are going to be cut off, okay, let's pull together. I've pulled out of my pocket. And I'm perfectly fine with that because I would want someone to do the same thing for me. I have two sons. If they ran into difficulties while in school, I would want someone at that university to help them if they could, or at least direct them to where they can get help. It's important. It's not a matter of do this or they're going to leave. You know, I have been a believer since 1994. I have been a believer in not begging anyone to be where they're not comfortable or where they don't want to be. And nothing is worth your ethics and your integrity. Nothing. So when I help someone, it is genuine. They know that they can contact us at any time. And I'm not the only one on my team that has helped someone out of their own resources.
That's great. When you look at, you know, where the world is going, I think we live in a world paying it forward or paid forward is so important. And I actually like to expand on that. So to speak, paying forward, what would you say you see the biggest opportunities right now that listeners who are industry experts like yourself in the field of education or higher education should consider or be open to? Like, what are those opportunities that will help transform the institution? I thought you brought a great example of how Potomac prepared for the pandemic, but moving forward, what do you see? Where should we channel our energy?
Our energy should definitely be channeled toward taking a second look at online education. Online education has gotten hit for years because the rigor is, it appears that students are teaching themselves. They're just paying to for an instructor to grade an assignment, which is not true. Universities need to come into a different century and take a look at the online education agencies have in place, the steps that you need to take to ensure the rigor is there, to hold faculty accountable, to make certain that the students are getting everything that they would get if they were on campus. That's one. Another one is looking into early childhood education specifically, because what I've noticed is a lot of our kids are struggling because our teachers did not understand anything about an online process. They're not comfortable teaching online. They cannot command respect from the students online because they can't really get to them. They can't see them. It's not the same. So an area of importance is that early childhood development, adding courses that prepares teachers for what happens if there is another act of God or natural disaster that prevents you from entering that classroom. How are you going to handle that? Also, medical assisting. Our Chicago location offers medical assisting. One of the things that we are seeing, and we all know this, is the lack of medical assistance because of the pandemic. We were not prepared as a country to satisfy all of the folks coming through the offices and coming into the hospitals because of COVID. So there is a necessity there. So leaning on online early childhood development to ensure that our teachers are better prepared and medical assisting. Those are the three big opportunities that I see.
That's certainly very empowering. And what it reminds me is that, you know, the whole notion of the importance of student services, because not only students learn in classroom, but they also learn outside of classroom by collaborating, by actually being helpful to each other. Exactly what we learned at Forestay by providing technology cloud-based services to higher education institutions and helping them simplify the process of securing off-campus housing. And it certainly reminds me of the fact that technology is playing a huge role in that whole transformation. What would your 2 cents be about technology overall and the leverage that needs to happen from operational side of things, like looking at student services and looking at the whole process of collaboration? Should institutions be having it in-house, or would you recommend that they outsource it, or what would be appropriate in your opinion?
I will hit, you know how you can hit the like button? I'm going to hit the like button a million times for Forestay. And I tell you why. Definitely they need to outsource if you can afford to outsource. And if not, you need to, you know, maybe just do a consulting session with someone that can tell you how to do this process in-house. Speaking specifically about the housing, as I mentioned earlier, we have 60%+ of our students are international, and you have people that are coming from everywhere that know absolutely nothing about the DC area or the Chicago area. And then there was this group called Forestay. You have no idea. Students, word of mouth means a lot, but something that is reputable, something that someone can log on and say, oh, I can see this. I can log in here, click on what you like, and you're going to have someone on the other end help you to attain that particular space. The pricing, everything is there. There's research that's being done that we as a university do not have to do. So student services works in conjunction with that to say, hey, student governance board, get out there and share this with our students, who in turn are going to share that with other students. And not being selfish about it, doesn't have to be a University of Potomac student. If you go to University of Potomac's website and you see Forestay, move forward. If we can help someone else, move forward. That's perfectly fine. So definitely the technology piece, doing things in-house, it's fine until a pandemic hits, and then you're stuck.
With limited resources and budgets. Exactly. And all the constraints.
So what are you going to do there? So our owner continues to press being innovative, trying to get ahead of what could happen next. No one saw the pandemic coming. We, like I mentioned earlier, never in my lifetime did I think that I would experience something like this. But the fact that we took it a step further and said, okay, well, we're hybrid and we have online, but we're going to have hybrid as well. We're still able to service. What's the next step? So Forestay was one. I love it. I tell you, and I email you constantly to say, hey, how's it going? Because those things are going to keep you innovative. I would say to the universities, think of all of your outlets that you currently have in-house and determine how are you going to make those, turn those to a technological point of view. How are you going to ensure the student can log on online and still get the same customer service, still go out there and review their documentation? How are you going to do that? How are you going to, we started using bots for marketing. How are you going to use the bot? So people are so used to the chat that they forget that a bot, chat bot exists. So you don't, if you're asleep, so what? The bot's not asleep. So All of those things, definitely that technology is important. And we're finding that out more and more.
That's great. And I recently read actually a survey that was done by a very respected company that 83% of higher education leaders confirmed that they started actually outsourcing and collaborating with third-party companies to grow the institution because the competition is going to be more and more. Some of the institutions are being merged, some of them are closing down, and the ones that embrace technology and the ones that embrace innovation will stay. And I'm so pleased to know that University of the Potomac is one of them, and then I continue to be impressed as someone working in the field of higher education and international education that Universities Potomac is growing. And I think as we wrap up this episode, I wanted to see if you had any piece of wisdom or advice for our listeners out there who are probably students or, you know, higher education professionals like yourself.
Let's see, some wisdom, huh? Someone has to give me some and then I'll give it back. So what I would say is to continue to press forward, continue in the world of education and emphasizing that it is important, that it is relevant, that the pandemic is going to go away. And when it does, we want to make certain that our students are relevant in the sense of they are equipped with what is necessary if another pandemic were to strike. I would also say to continue the quality customer service and always paying it forward. Yes, we are competitors, but we're in the same realm. So if one university can help another university, then do so. We have sent students to different community colleges. Nova is the one that's in our area and we have agreements with. We've sent students to community colleges simply because they just were not ready. And that's perfectly fine. Those are things that we should do because the objective is to ensure that we are all relevant, that they are receiving the education that they need to be successful in the world that they are living in.
That's really nice. I was reading a book last week and the words just reminded me of that. At the end of the day, it's important. And the book, by the way, is by Dan Sullivan and Dr. Benjamin Hardy. It's called Who, Not How. And it's a very powerful book, which helps you discover the importance of bringing the right people. And I think a University of the Potomac is lucky to have you because you were able to figure out how. I mean, because at the end of the day, you know, the growth that, you know, Potomac has seen is to due to people like yourself. And I really applaud that. And I was hoping that maybe you can nominate another person who you believe would be the right person for our audience and podcast listeners to hear from to get insights and wisdom like you did today.
Yes, I do have another person, and she is actually on our admissions team, and her name is Zola. And Zola is as compassionate as I am. You know, you often think of admissions teams and you think of sales and you think of cold calling and you think of these people that just want to get you in, you're just a number. And she's the exact opposite of that. She has turned students away because she knew they would not be successful, not just yet. And I redirected them and they ended up returning. I think that she is well-versed in higher education. She has the standard that University of Potomac needs. And she also has one of the best relationships with international students that I have seen in 20 plus years.
That's very well noted. We heard of her and we'll certainly reach out to her to bring her on our podcast episode. And you certainly said a lot of good things in this episode. I really feel very, you know, empowered personally, and I hope that so are listeners. I was hoping that we can contact you. And if that's the case, what's the best way to find you?
Absolutely. I can be reached at andrea.ford@potomac.edu. And I'm available all the time, apparently. And 202-274-2317 is my direct line.
That's great. Nobody gave out their cell phone. You're the first one. This is where the innovation is. Mrs. Ford, thank you so much for your time this morning. I did really enjoy speaking with you, and I hope that our listeners found this episode useful. On behalf of the Education and Empowerment Podcast, we appreciate your time. Thank you for inspiring, and thank you for sharing your examples of student success outside of classroom, as well as how to transform a higher education institutions. For our podcast listeners out there who are curious about what Forstay does, check it out at podcast.forstay.com or about.forstay.com. And we can also learn about the services that we provide for colleges and universities. And obviously, if you're interested in University of the Potomac, check it out at potomac.edu, one of the great institutions in the area. All right. Until our next show, Ms. Andrea Ford, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
We appreciate the time.
Bye-bye.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Education and Empowerment Podcast. This show is brought to you by Forstay, a SaaS-enabled online booking marketplace for student and intern housing. Forstay provides turnkey, all-in-one, cloud-based accommodation software solutions for colleges, universities, and organizations. Learn more at offcampus.forstay.com and landlords.forstay.com.